Okay, so we're gonna. I discussed. I gave a share on Sunday in NYU.
About the event or some event?
Yeah, there was this conference, so I gave it on patient autonomy. So I discussed a few cases of patient, like where halacha does recognize patient autonomy, and I basically discussed the backdrop to, I guess, how you can figure out what halacha's perspective is of patient autonomy. Obviously, it's a much more nuanced discussion, but there is a kind of a broad backdrop, a broad understanding of the sugya. So I figured I would just chazer for a few minutes because you weren't there anyway. So okay, so basically, the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us a story to Rabbi Akiva that a woman basically a man took off a woman's head covering. Rabbi Akiva was mechayev him to pay 400 zuz or something, and then the man set up a system where he spilled some oil on the floor and he set up witnesses, and the woman took off her scarf, took the oil from the floor to put it on her head and put her scarf back on, and the man went back to Rabbi Akiva and said, you know, why are you being mechayev me? She was willing to take off her scarf anyway. That was like the whole story that I said very shortly, but. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Gemara there in Bava Kamma on Tzadi Amud Beis tells us that Rabbi Akiva says no, because even though hachovel be achirim, if you hit someone else, so you're gonna it's aser in your chayiv. If you hit yourself, afal pi she'eino rashai pater. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. That even though it's not allowed, she'eino rashai, still pater. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. So what you do see from the Gemara in Bava Kamma is that there's some sort of eino rashai. There's some sort of iser. Or non-allowance to being chovel yourself, and that's the conclusion. And the Rambam passes that way in Hilchas Chovel Umazik in Perek Hey Alach Aleph. Except he has a stronger law shown here. It's usser la'adam lachvol bein ba'atzmo bein b'chaveiro. It's usser to hit whether it's another person or even yourself. And the Rambam learns it out based off the Gemara in Suvas, as the Kesef Mishnah says from the pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Ki Seitzei Arba Im Yakenu Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. Pen Yosef, you're not allowed to add on to Malkos. From there, the Gemara in Ksuvos and other places learn out the Isser Hakka, the Isser to hit another person. So the Rambam says that Isser Doraisa is Bein La'atzmo Bein La'achirim. That's what the Rambam says. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Taf Chaf, that there's an Isser, he uses the Lashon of Eino Rashai, but there's an Isser to not just be Chovel other people, but also to be Chovel oneself. That's an important background. Really, where the sugya gets started is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, I'm just going to read it because I think it's an interesting, it's an important language. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, as soon as I can find it in my notes, it's in Choshen Mishpat Hilchos Nizkei HaGuf and Nefesh in Seif Dalet. He writes, Asur l'hakosas chaveiro, afilu hu nosin lo rishus l'hakoso. You can't hit your friend even if he gives you rishus. Ki ein le'adam rishus al gufo klal la'akoso v'lo levaisho v'lo letzaro v'chulei v'chulei. Ki ein le'adam rishus al gufo klal. A person does not have rishus over his own body. So the words of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav are very important for many reasons. But specifically because, you know, it's the first time where you give, it's not just that there's an Isser, but there's some sort of substance behind the Isser. As to tell you the Isser is because you don't own your body. So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav isn't the first one to say this. The Rambam has a similar perspective. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach, in the first parak in Halacha Dalid, the Rambam is here talking about the Isser to accept kofar from Rotzeach. Lo sechu kofar, what's it? Lo sechu kofar b'nefesh, rotzeach? What is it? What? Nefesh rotzeach. So the Isser is, again, if someone is chayiv misa, so I can't then say, you know what, even though he's chayiv misa, he'll give me $1 million, and we'll say that that's a good enough penalty. So the Rambam writes not only that, but even if the Goel Adam were to say, no, it's fine, patrim, the money is good enough, still, that's usser. Why? The Rambam writes, because the nefesh of the person who is murdered is not acquired by the Goel Adam. He doesn't have rights over the body. Ella kinyan la kadosh baruch hu, or kinyan la kadosh baruch hu. It's a kinyan to God. That's what the nefesh of the person is, a kinyan to God. So here too, you see the same thing as the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that a person's nefesh is not his, a person's nefesh is kanoi, is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there are two important questions that I pointed out last week that come out of this Rambam. Number one, what's the source of this? Is it just a svara? There should be a source for this. And number two, if this is really a svara, that we can always say that a person's nefesh is not theirs, it's really God's, so why doesn't the Rambam bring that down as a svara in the last Rambam, that there's an isser to hit yourself or hit someone else, he should say, because you don't have rishus over yourself. So what seems to be, and it needs to be developed a little more, but what seems to be is that there's a difference between haka'a, hitting, and misa, and death. By misa, that's where the Rambam writes differently than the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He doesn't write, I forgot the Lashon Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but in gufo, in adam rishus al gufo klal. But the Rambam writes that his nefesh is kanu l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the nefesh. The idea is anytime we're talking about misa, so you have no right to determine live, dead. Right? It's not yours to determine. God gave you a nefesh, then you can't say, no, here's a bad God. You know, you have no right to do that. But when it comes to hakos, when it comes to hurting someone, hitting someone, so there, no, we don't have a svar. There we have an isser d'oraisa. It's an isser of Pen Yosef. And that isser has definitions. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chovel Mazik, when talking about the isser of chavala to hit someone, that v'lo achovel bilvad al kol amaka adam kasher miyisrael, etc., etc., derech nitzayon har is over below sasei. In a manner of strife, derech nitzayon, that's how you're over the isser. Because it's not just logic that you're not allowed to hit someone, but there's a defined isser in the Torah that Pen Yosef tells you I'm not allowed to hit someone or myself. Derech nitzayon, as long as it's in a way of fighting, of strife. A nafkamina between what we're saying, between Hakka and Misa, is Mechila. Let's say a person gives Rishus to someone else. So if someone were to give Rishus to someone to kill them, let's say, God forbid, so that's absolutely Asr. And Minchas Chinuch writes this explicitly in Mitzvah Lamedalet, I think. You definitely can't give someone Rishus. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Memches that one is allowed to give Rishus to someone else to hit them. And he says, I don't have a mekor for this, but in Misvara it makes sense. If someone gives rishus to someone else, they can hit him. In the footnotes of the Minchas Chinuch, they quote from Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, that the reason is because the Rambam defined the Isser of Hakka, Derech Nitzayon. It has to be in a manner of strife. If I gave permission, so there's no longer an Isser. That's what, so that's presumably, and even if you don't want to take it to that extent and say, no, that if you give Mechila by hitting, there's no Isser, but by Misa there still is an Isser. You can say both of them are really still an Isser, but the Nafka Mina may be if I give Mechila, whether there's an Onesh. By Misa, if someone says, you can kill me, and they kill them, so the person's going to be Chayiv Misa. The Onesh doesn't get absolved. But if someone says, you're allowed to hit me, and they hit them, they may be over an Isser, but they may be Pater from Onshin. There's a Chuvas HaRivash that writes this explicitly, I pointed out.
That first Gemara that you quoted with the Rambam, doesn't it say that it's not
Rashai?
You know,
Rashai? That's what the Gemara says, Afal Bisha'ein Rashai, then you'd be Pater.
Right, so you're not, but then there's.
That's by yourself.
Oh, so you're saying someone else giving you Mechila.
Yeah, so if Reuven gives Shimon Mechila, says, you can hit me.
So what would be the difference between you allowing yourself to do it and someone else?
Very good. So the Minchas Chinuch isn't the Pashtus. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav I quoted before says you can't give Rishus.
Right.
That. But the Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses this point in Choshem Mishpat, I think. In Choshem Mishpat Chela Gimel. So he did, and he points out, the other poets can also say this, but he points out your question. What he says is, like, if I have no Rishus over my own body to hit myself, how can I give someone else? So what he says is the only time that there's no Isser is if, number one, Reuven gives Shimon permission to hit him, and number two, Shimon hits him in a way that's Pachos Mishav Pruta. Then it's not Derech Nitzayon, there's nothing. So he has to like combine the two, because otherwise you don't have permission to get, if you can't do it yourself, how can you get permission?
So you can do it to yourself also, less than Mishav Pruta?
That's what it seems to be, yes. That's where Rav Moshe seems to Paskin. but what's important, again, for the Rambam specifically, is that there is this idea of, similar to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but at least purely by Misa, that you don't have, you know, you don't have ownership over your nefesh. It comes up in one other place in the Rambam. The Rambam in the 18th parak of Sanhedrin, in Halacha Vav, discusses the idea of Ein Adam Esim Atzmo Rasha. So a person can't go to Beis Din and say, I killed Shimon, now kill me. He's not allowed to. So the Radvaz writes, even though it's Gzeiras HaMelech, that's just the Gzeira we... But he says, I can give you Ktsas Tam Ledvarav. I can give you a little bit of a reason as to why we hold of this concept of Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha, that you can't make yourself into a guilty person. And he says this very reason. He says, because your nefesh is not kanoi to you, it's kanoi to Hashem. So I can't decide that I want to give up my nefesh. I can't go into Beis Din and say, kill me. I killed someone. So it's the same idea that the Rambam has. So again, it's important on many levels. I quoted on Sunday Amor Ktsia, who also writes this explicitly, but this seems to be the idea. A person can't, for example, be ma'abin atzmo ladas, commit suicide. Rachman Alatzan, he's not allowed to do that because his nefesh isn't his. By hakah, then there's an isser, but I don't know if we necessarily, the Shulchan Harav says we do say such a thing. But now when it comes to actual patients, so the question is, can a patient tell a doctor to give me a chavala when it's shalo letzorech, when it's unnecessary? So that's going to be an important thing to think about. I brought down on Sunday, the reason why this started is because someone brought to me a case. I'm not going to go through the whole case just because we don't have time. But basically, in the end of the day, what happened was there was a patient who was intubated, totally incapacitated, couldn't make any decisions. So you had, in the past, in this very same situation, the patient refused any care. Or a similar situation, the patient refused care. So the wife and the daughter were there. The wife said, you know, the patient wouldn't want this life-saving, very risky surgery. And the daughter said, you know, I want my dad to get surgery. So this was, you know, the whole ethics committee, what to do. Whatever happened, happened. But part of what I didn't discuss on Sunday is an important part of when discussing the concept of patient autonomy. And although we just pointed out, Ein nafsho shel adam kanoi l'cha ela l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, your nefesh is only... it's God's, it's not yours, you don't have ownership. Obviously, it's more nuanced, and there are examples when one would be allowed to be autonomous and make decisions as a patient. But what do we do with healthcare proxies, next of kins, all these type of things where, you know, in secular law, so, for example, if you don't have anything, your healthcare proxy is always your spouse. You can write a living will or whatever, a document that says you want your child to be your healthcare proxy. So are those decisions also considered part of patient autonomy, and does halacha view those as anything? So presumably you can see what a healthcare proxy does really in two different ways. Either what they do is, you know, in the example I brought, it's the perfect example because you have a daughter who, you know, wanted her father to get the surgery. So the healthcare proxy is just a close relative, but also wants to make, she loves the person and wants to make the right decision. The wife, who also in this case loves the person, but the wife said, I know what he would have wanted. So is it about making the decision for the patient or really for yourself? Those are always two ways. And they quote from Rav Moshe, I'm going to get into the tshuva a little more, but in the second chelik of Choshe Mishpat, he has a long tshuva where he discusses a lot of these topics. In Siman Ayin Hay, we're going to get there in a minute, Blina, there, but they quote there that he thinks it's more of a, you know, you ask the patient and it's the ritzon of mistama, it's the will of and the wanting of the patient that if he can't talk, so that his healthcare proxy, his relative, will be able to make decisions. Kind of sounds like they can make their own decisions, it's just a close member. But it's mefurish, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes it in the Shulchan Shlomo. So that's like a 7-volume set. So they have 3 volumes on Archei HaRefua. On Rafua things. So there in the first chilek, so they quote, the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that when it comes to informing a patient about an impending, let's say, surgery, so you need consent from the patient. And the poskim all discuss this, that you do need consent from a patient because, you know, if a patient doesn't consent to something, theoretically, if you tell him something, a patient can say, I want another doctor to do it, or I want a different hospital. Or there are times when he can say, I don't want it, potentially, even in halacha. So it's very important to get a consent from the patient. So Shlomo Zalman says, if the patient is incapacitated, so we would ask the krovim of the mishpacha, because they know the patient best. Right? That's presumably, and in secular law, that's how they think also. That's why a spouse is always the healthcare proxy. Because what the assumption is the spouse knows the other spouse the best. And that's why they don't have enough, that they're before all other family members, even though, you know, in terms of Yerusha, for example, halacha sees children first, but that's not what this is. Both for Rav Shlomo Zalman in the eyes of halacha and secular law, the healthcare proxy is really making the decision of what the patient would want. And that's obviously an important distinction. There are nafkaminas between those two ways of looking at it. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about this. He writes in a tshuva, I should say, about this in his tshuvas in Chelek Aleph, I think in Simon Kuf Tazayin, at the very end of the tshuva. So he points out these two ways, and he says a nafkamina would be, let's say, the family can't really assess the patient, doesn't really know what the patient wants. So do we still say that they can make the decision or not? If you held, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that the decision is only going to be what would the patient want, that's the whole idea of the decision-making, so then these people don't really have a right to make a decision. It should really be up to the doctor or the posek, whoever is going to make the decision. But if the decision is really because, you know, Mistama the Chole wants that if he can't make a decision, at least someone in his family, a loved one, should make the decision. So even if they can't exactly assess the situation and know exactly, you know, what the Chole would want, they would still make a decision. Yeah.
Can I just step back for a second? Because the course that you quoted at the beginning of the year with like hurting yourself or hurting someone else, this is a different sugya than what you're talking about now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because what I was going to get, like, what are the, let's say in the second sugya that we're talking about, like, who has the rights to make medical decisions? What are the dinim, like isurim, or you know, that you would be involved, that would be involved here in, like, let's say somebody making this, let's say it's not the daughter's right to make a decision, so, and then she makes a decision. So what has she been over, like, what are the dinim that we're dealing with here?
Lo samar al dam reacha is probably the biggest issur.
Even if it's, so that's for...
That's why I started with the quote-unquote first sugya. Yeah. So that's why I start. Meaning the baseline is, again, a nevish of a person is not his, it's God's. And therefore, halacha is what's kovas in all these situations. There are some situations, again, I quoted them last week, I'll quote another one soon, Blina, there. But there are other situations where we allow a patient to make some form of decision. Now, when the patient makes that decision, the question that we're asking now is how far that extends. Meaning, when we look at a healthcare proxy, do we see it as an extension of the patient? And say that therefore, the same way halacha allows the patient to make decisions in certain situations, so too the healthcare proxy. Or the way healthcare proxies work, and in secular law also maybe, is that no, it just happens to be a close family member can also make a decision. In that case, it would be problematic because that's not how halacha views it. And the bigger problem is going to be then we have 90% of the situations, let's say, where halacha would say, you know, the chol has no right to make the decision. And therefore, definitely the healthcare proxies can't make the decision. So the question is, how does halacha view those healthcare proxies?
So are you saying that there are certain circumstances where in halacha we would say we have to treat the patient
against his will?
Against his will?
Yes. Yes. Again, I'm sorry, because in my head I'm continuing from... But again, with the source of the nefesh of a person isn't his, it's someone else's, and a person has no right to just give up on their life, the Magen Avraham paskens from the Radvaz and Simen Shin Chaf Ches and Sif Katan Vav, that if a patient refuses medication that's necessary, you can force him.
Which is not how it's in America, well, that's not how
that you wouldn't be able to, obviously, yeah, this is the big thing, there's obviously a tension between the way secular law works and especially the way patient autonomy works in this day and age, and the way halacha views it. I started with a few cases of patient autonomy to say it's not like yes and no, the way we think about it, that, you know, the Western ideal is that, right, that's why it's one of the four pillars of medical ethics is autonomy. And it's not that halacha says, no, a patient is never autonomous. There are situations when we'll allow the das of the chole to play a role. There may be, yeah, we're going to get there, Blina, there in a few minutes. Yeah, no, I just wanted to, before we get into the patient, there is a role that the healthcare proxy plays in all these situations, and I think it's just very interesting to think about halachically what is their role, because presumably nothing. So, in fact, Rav David Zvi Hoffman writes, he has tshuva, see, he was a rabbi in Germany, he was Talmud of Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, so he, in his tshuva, is Melamed Lahoel and Chelek Beis. In Simon Kuf Dalet, so he has a case where that was asked of him, where you have a child, a baby, that like a newborn baby, that the doctors needed to do a surgery, and the parents didn't want it. And they asked Rav David Zvi Hoffman, you know, can we listen to the parents and not do the surgery? Well, what's the... So what he basically says is, once halacha is kofat, whatever the situation, each situation is unique, but if halacha says that the surgery must be done, then the das of the of aviv imo lo malav lo morid, it's like totally irrelevant what the parents think. Now, it's important in his situation because it was a baby, so the baby himself obviously is not a decision maker. So the healthcare proxies or the parents in this situation aren't making it al das the baby, they're obviously making it in their own feelings. And I think that's why Milami Lahawala is saying, you know, if it's his own feelings, it's totally irrelevant in the eyes of halacha. The question is, if you have a patient and the patient is in a situation where theoretically he can make a decision, what would he have made? So some take it to more extent. I know Rav Shechter writes in one place that it seems to be that any time the patient can't make the decision, the doctors make it, and the other people aren't lomalav lomorid, for example, their thoughts are irrelevant. However, you know, in an ideal time, let's say when the Beis HaMikdash is built, and according to those Rishonim, that people will still be sick, and there may be a hospital, whatever, Luyitzir, whatever the case may be. So the question is, how will a halachic hospital work? Will there be such a thing as healthcare practice? And presumably, the way it would work is that the posik of the hospital will tell the patients, okay, who's the person closest to you, that if we need to ask them to figure out what you would want to do in a given situation, we would know. The idea is healthcare proxies are meant to be mevayer the metzias. They're supposed to tell us what the patient would think, like Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying. That's the simplest interpretation.
But are you talking about a scenario where there's two equally, like suffix this, suffix that, like there are two equivalent options? Or are you talking about one option?
Oh, good. Okay, so let's get into one option. I'll give you just one example that we gave last week. Let's say a patient, the post can discuss that you're allowed to be doche chayisha for chayolam. So a person is allowed to get a very, very risky surgery if it's a life-saving surgery. That's a chiddush because we usually were choshesh for chayisha just like chayolam. So shortening, bringing closer your death, usually we would never, that would be nisr d'oraisa, so it would be nisr etzicha. However, the post can explain based off the Gemara of Rezar and Chav Zayin that if the idea is you're trying to get chayolam, you're allowed to make such a decision. So let's say you had a patient, the doctor say, it's a very risky surgery, I don't know if we should do it. So the patient can say, I want to do it. But let's say the patient's incapacitated.
Right.
So can we say, okay, the health, halachically, not secularly, halachically, can the healthcare proxy now say, you know, I think that he would want to have the surgery or not?
If he makes a decision not in line with the desires of the...
Is there an Isser? I'm not sure if there's an Isser. We have to move via the Matthias in that situation, so I'm not sure. That's above my pay grade. I don't know. What?
What do you mean?
The Matthias of what the Chola would want, I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying, like, I'm trying to understand, like, we're asking, how does Halacha view a proxy? I'm trying to think, what's at stake exactly in terms of, not what's at stake medically, I'm saying, what's at stake? Let's say the proxy makes a decision when he shouldn't have been. Has he done something wrong?
Possibly. Possibly, because the other option is to say that if he doesn't know, then the doctor should make whatever they think is medically necessary.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, let's say he does.
And it's wrong, it's possible he'll be over Ritzicha.
Are you saying the outcome? If he leaves the outcome that's negative, then maybe he's higher or something like that.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have made the decision.
But the question is really a question lechatchila, though. If you're in a halachic hospital, the question is lechatchila, do I go over to the healthcare proxy and say, should we do the surgery? Or do I say, no, the doctors will meet and assess the situation and they'll make the decision whether it's worth it, you know, at the behest of the posik, who will also help with the umdina.
But what I'm saying is, like, there must be maybe some course that talk about a certain, or maybe not, like a patient has a certain right to his medical decisions. Like, is there such a thing, like a tovas hanas type of thing, where like a person has a right?
Yeah, so again, and this is why we started with...
Right.
The baseline is a person doesn't have rishus over his nefesh, perhaps over his guf. That's the baseline. There are situations where they do. So let's get into one, just because you're bringing it up anyway. So what I mentioned last week is that Rav Shlomo Zalman is a tshuva. His tshuva is Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, and Simen Tzadi Aleph. In Os Chaf Dalet, he has a discussion where he points out that if you have an end-stage patient, and the end-stage patient is dying, and he's on medication, and the medication is giving him a ton of pain. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's definitely usur to stop feeding him, to give him food and drink. And Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says, in Choshe Mishpat, in Chelek Beis, that tshuva I was talking about before, in Simen Ayin Hei, So he discusses also oxygen. It would be also to stop that. However, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if the patient says, I don't want the medication, the side effects of the medication is causing me way too much pain. He's dying. By not getting the medication, you're shortening his death. It's that case of Chai Sha. So lo Chai Shin on the Chai Sha, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he thinks it would be allowed. He thinks it's if it's a Yirei Shamayim, you should try to tell them, keep it, whatever it is. But Meikir Adin, he thinks that would be allowed. Rav Moshe, that Chuv I just quoted, also says the same thing. And he quotes it based off the Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuvis, on Daf Kuf Dalet, I think, tells us that when Rebbe was dying, so Rebbe was suffering from some sort of gastrointestinal disease that was very, very severe. And all the Chachamim were davening for him. And Amasa Debei Rebbe, the maidservant Rebbe, who we learn a lot of halachos from, saw what was happening, and in the end of the day, she davened that the heavens should take him. That he should, you know, he was in so much pain. So the Ran in Adarim and Daf Mem learns out from that there are times that you're supposed to daven for a person's death. Right? You're supposed to try a person, it's when it's just too much. There are certain situations, obviously, it's not as, you know, simple as that, but there are certain situations when a person's in so much pain where he's supposed to. Now, the post can point out, Shlomo Zalman points out in that tshuva I've quoted before of Zilverstein and writes in the Shirei Torah Lerofim, they both point out, Lemaisa, you have to do as much as you can be a dayim. But davening, you're allowed to daven. Sir Moshe quotes this, Sir Moshe says, you see from here and other places, but that there are situations when b'sheva al tase, obviously not actively, but when a person's in a tremendous, tremendous sakon and suffering tremendous pain, and he just can't do it anymore, so you have to feed him, you have to give him oxygen, but you can remove, you know, the medications that are elongating his life. And
this is the Ran is a makar for this?
The Ran is one of the makaros that the Rav Moshe brings, yeah. The Ran who...
That's a little different. I mean, it's like a little bit of chiddush because that's, as you said before, that it's, that's your leaning up to Hashem, you know, you're not...
So there is a jump. There's no question that there's a little bit of a jump, but again, it's only b'sheva al tase, right? He says you're only allowed to not give those medications. And this question is a big question. The question is quality of life. How does quality of life play a role in patient decision making? So it's an important decision in all of this, but that's really where a lot of this comes from. Rav Asher Weiss says, as a tshuva, and I remember, the truth is even before Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva. So, quality of life, when you think about it, the reason why it's important, for example, there's a tshuva, the tshuva's Beis Avi. So he writes there in Chelek Beis, in Simen Kufnun Beis, we know one of the sources for doctors to heal patients is V'hashivo Solo. Just like there's Hashavas Aveda, so there's Hashavas Gufo, to return the person's body back. So in the tshuva's Beis Avi, he quotes that... So for this reason, if a person, you're going to do a surgery on a patient, and they're just going to live a terrible life after that, in terrible pain. So that's not v'hashevo so low. He quotes based off the Rambam and the Perashah Mishnayos in Nedarim. But it's not v'hashevo so low. So again, this is the same idea where if the quality of life, by doing whatever you're doing for the patient, is just going to have him live a terrible life, then that's not really what the doctors are, the chiyuv of the doctor. And more than that, it seems that the patient can say, I don't want that anymore. Not everyone agrees to that. Rabbi Bleich, I think, disagrees with that, Tshuva's Beis Avi. But that's what a lot of people do say. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel of his tshuvos at the end, where he discusses not only that, but he thinks actively you can, you know, have a really risky surgery to improve your quality of life, just for the, meaning to do something active. Not just passive, even if it's a really risky surgery, and it would be based off these same makoros. Rav Moshe, in that very same tshuva, does point out that there's going to be a difference about how serious the sakana is. So Rav Moshe does say that, you know, if you have a medication that's very, very dangerous for a very, very sick patient, so if the sakana is really, really high for the medication, you can't give it to the patient. If the sakana is really, really low, so you're allowed to give it, or you should give it to the patient. But says Rav Moshe, if there's like this in-between category of, it's like a little less than half, like pachos mimechza is where Rav Moshe says, so if the doctors think it's appropriate, and the patient says, I want it, so you can give to the patient. So there are like these different levels, and that's what Rav Asher Weiss also points us out in his tshuva, that you're only able to make these decisions when like the sakana is not so close. is what he calls it. And it's very hard to figure out what that means, that the sakana is not so close. So I think it's best explained. Rav Shechter writes in Bikvei Atzon, in Simin Lamed Aleph, so it's a tshuva. Someone asked him this type of question, a patient that was terrible quality of life with the medications, you know, do they have to continue all that? So he quotes the tshuva of Rav Moshe, and he writes that, Rav Shechter writes that there are really three categories in terms of patient decision making. If there's an umdana demuchach, if it's certain that the entire world would not take that given medication, surgery, whatever it is, so then it's usher to give that patient that medication, that surgery. If it's an umdana demuchach that the entire world does do it, so then even if the patient doesn't want to do it, you can force the patient. Right? Those are the two extremes. Again, umdana demuchach that everyone would definitely not have that medication, so then you are not allowed to give the patient, even if the patient says, I want it. Umdana demuchach that the medication is something that no one would have, so then even if the patient says, I want it, you don't give it to them. But then there's an in-between category, explains Rav Shechter, and that's when it's not umdana demuchach. This is what you were saying before. It's like, I don't know, the doctors say, here are two options. You can do nothing, you can get a surgery. I'm not sure which one's, you know, one is a 60% chance, one's a 4%, whatever it is. There are two chances. It's not so clear what people would do in those given situations. So Rav Shechter explains, that's talo b'das ha'adam. Those times of sakana, that a person has the ability to make a decision over their own body. And he quotes that this is the opinion of the classical poskim, and a lot of, in general, by Pikuach Nefesh, he quotes a tshuva of the Achi Ezer. And he says this is what the Chavetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish also held. They write it in the third chelek of the Chazon Ish's biography, Per Hador. So they write that the Chazon Ish explained that Pikuach Nefesh, someone once came to him, they have a story that someone came to him and said, is this Pikuach Nefesh? And he asked them, like, I don't know, what would you do? It was like a whole story. And they asked to explain, and the Chazon Ish explained that Pikuach Nefesh is taloi in a person's bitachon in Hashem. What's considered Pikuach Nefesh? It's based off of Ramban, I've quoted before. And he said, so what's Pikuach Nefesh for one person may not be for another person. So you have to assess to see if the person really feels it's Pikuach Nefesh in certain situations. They quote in the footnote there, that biography, that the Chafetz Chaim also held this way, because in one of like these Knesia Gdolas, whatever, there's these big meetings that the Rabbanim had in Europe, so a few of the rabbis got up and they were railing on American Jewry, who were all working on Shabbos, saying how terrible it is, Chil Hashem, Chil Shabbos, all, etc., etc. And then they looked at the Chafetz Chaim to say something, and the Chafetz Chaim said, I don't know what to tell you, who says it's not Pikuach Nefesh for them? And they point out in the footnote that the Chazon Ish, when telling over this Chavetz Chaim, said, what do you think? If the Chavetz Chaim was in that situation, he wouldn't have worked on Shabbos. But the Chavetz Chaim was saying, for other people, it may be Pikuach Nefesh, even though it's not Pikuach Nefesh for him. So these are, again, the Chavetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish, Chaim Ozer has a tshuva also about this, that in situations where it's not clear either way, sakana is going to be taloi b'das ha'adam. Now, Rav Shechter often quotes, I've quoted this before also, like by Tfilas HaDerech, this is a good example. You know, when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? When you feel it's a sakan in your journey. So Rav Shechter always quotes that the Rav, when he first started traveling from Boston to New York, he would say Tfilas HaDerech. And then after a little bit, he stopped saying it, because he was doing it every week. He didn't feel it was a sakana for him anymore. So it's that same idea. The Rav Shechter says, what's the makar for this? So the makar is based off the Gemara and Bava Mitzion Kafud Beis, and Rav Asher Weiss in one of his tshuvas also alludes to this, that the Pasuk tells us, Ve'ilav hu nosei es nafsho. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Ki Tzeitze that a person is nosei his own nefesh, basically, and the Gemara learns from there, and you know, the Noda Bihud has a famous tshuva about this in Madura Tinyana, in Yoradei and Simen Yod, that when a person is an ani, a person needs a parnasa, a person needs to work. So a person's allowed to put himself in a very dangerous situation in order to make money. Ve'ilav hu nosei es nafsho. He's putting himself at risk. He's allowed to put himself at risk. He's allowed to do it for himself. He owns his body. He can do what he wants with his body. You know, my body, my choice. We don't actually hold that way, but in that sense. So that's what the Noda B'Yehuda, and the Rav Moshe also quotes this tshuva, but the Noda B'Yehuda has a famous tshuva there also. Yisrael Shuva quotes us about an ani, you know, working. The Gemara discusses someone like climbing trees. You know, you can imagine someone working on a skyscraper. So that's a tremendous sakana. It shouldn't be allowed, but if a person for his parnasa needs to do that and decides he wants to do that, there's no problem doing that. Ve'ilav u'noseyas nafsho. So Rav Shechter says, that's the makar for this middle category, when there's no umdana either way. it's totally b'das adam. Ve'ilav uno se'es nafsho, he's able to do it himself. And I think this is what I was explaining in the Rambam earlier. I think this is the exact explanation. For the Rambam, when it comes to ritzicha, when it comes to murder, so we say the nefesh of a person is kanoi to Hashem. Hashem owns your nefesh. But when it comes to a person's guf, his body, there are certain situations, ve'ilav uno se'es nafsho. Person has some ability to do what he wants. Now, as long as it doesn't violate the Yisr of Pen Yosef, as long as it doesn't violate an Yisr of Chavala or whatever, but other than that, the svar of that the Nefesh is Kanei Tashem doesn't necessarily apply in all given situations because of Ve'ilav Uno Se'as Nafsho, a person can kind of do with himself what he wants. Again, in a halachically permissible way. So this is obviously a clear case when a person wants to. And of Shechter Paskin this way, that if a person, for quality of life reasons, wants to, let's say, go off of certain medications, he would be allowed to. For this reason, Ve'ilav uno se'es nafsho, a person can kind of make it, Talei b'das adam, he can decide what he wants to do, you know, what his pain is. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a much bigger chiddush than this, in Shulchan Shlomo there. He writes that, let's say a person needs an amputation. And they write in his name at least, that, but he says, if I get an amputation, so Me'ikar Adin, the Magen Avraham we quoted before, says, if you need a trufa, you force the patient, and you'll even cut off his leg, if it's going to save the rest of his body. But let's say the patient says, no, but you don't get it. If you cut off my leg, so I'm going to be such a burden on my parents. I can't live like that. It's going to be a horrible life. I can't do it. It's just... So if someone Zalman says, we would listen to the Das HaChol in such a situation, which is a much more extreme case. But that's an extreme case where quality of life actually plays a relevant factor. There's a case that they tell doctors, supposedly, in one of these Nordic countries. I forgot which one. I can't remember which one. But there was a gender confirmation surgery. What do they call it now? I don't remember. Gender transition, whatever the politically correct term is, that surgery, and it was something like it was a failure. There was something that happened. It was a big mistake that couldn't be fixed. And when the patient saw, the patient said, I totally can't live this way. And they said, okay, and the doctors just killed him. I mean, they didn't like shoot him, whatever, medically, but they just like killed him. Physician's assisted suicide. So that would be an extreme, obviously, within the secular world of patient autonomy. That reaches the point where they say, no, your nefesh is not taloi b'cha, it's taloi b'Hashem. Hashem is the owner of your soul. What we say is that God owns our soul, but we're the watchmen of our body. We're like shomrim. And so we do have decision-making abilities in certain situations to make decisions over our body. We can't kill ourselves, God forbid. That's obviously not allowed. But there is some sort of autonomy that a patient doesn't have. This is relevant for a lot of different other factors. DNRs, you know, how we view DNRs. Someone asked me a very interesting case recently. What happens if you have a person who's sick and the doctor gives them two options? One option is has the higher percentage success rate, that everything will work out. But the second option, which has a little bit lower of a percentage, but will like maim the body somehow. So for example, in like breast cancer, let's say. So let's say you had two options. One that will disfigure the woman's femininity or inflict something on that, and the other one which won't, which is a hybrid. Are you allowed to choose the one that's more risky for the sake of your quality of life? Right, these are the nuanced situations. So all these situations really always have to be asked to a posek, because they have to assess the situation to figure out what exactly quality of life we're determining, whether those decisions are allowed to be made, etc. But those are some situations of patient autonomy, and it doesn't contradict the fact that, as the Rambam writes, that the nefesh of an adam is a kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here. There are also discussion of plastic, like elective surgeries, plastic surgeries, all these things are all obviously relevant factors.